I can't stress it enough. This is an incredible problem that we're facing, and we're just seem to be letting it go.
Fisherman Alan Riggs of Wrangell was among the people who video conferenced in to join a room full of Petersburg area residents. His comments reflected the frustration among attendees who were worried about an expanding sea otter population.
We're trying to survive here, and the government's turning on letting a little furry critter that's cute come in here and take away what we're worked so carefully. As a fisherman, we work carefully to make sure our stocks are healthy, and we're letting a critter come right in here and eat us out of house and home.
According to a 2003 estimate, approximately 8,000 to 9,000 otters live in southeast Alaska. The animals were hunted into near extinction by the fur trade a century ago. The state reintroduced them in southeast in the 1960s, and they have thrived since then. Today, the animals are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and only natives are allowed to hunt them. The animals feed mostly on shellfish and other species that are commercially harvested, and the growth in their population has created a big resource conflict with dive and crab fishermen, sometimes reducing shellfish populations to a point where commercial harvest had to be closed. Third-generation Petersburg crabber Mark Jensen stressed that the Dungeness crab season could end up substantially shortened.
Since the otters are taking up more and more area in southeast Alaska, eating up more area, I would call it, and making it unfishable, the fishing fleet's moving closer and closer together. It's getting more confined. If we get down below this threshold level, we're going to have a two-week season instead of an eight-week season. And in certain given years, this fishery's worth close to $10 million for our region.
Jensen wondered if the government could compensate fishermen for their losses. Federal officials at the meeting said that was one of the ideas they had been considering. But U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist Verena Gill emphasized that more data needed to be gathered on the situation.
Part of the problem is, you know, you are seeing these otters do this, but we have nothing, you know, no data. You know how the world works. You gotta actually say.
Unfortunately, I do.
Right. You gotta show that it's not good enough to go. They're eating their resources. Well, yeah. How do you know? So if we gather the data and then we can look at it and see how much it is impacting in monetary amounts, which is part of Zach's thesis, then we have a number to work with.
Gill is working with University of Alaska Fairbanks PhD candidate Zach Hoyt on a new tally of otter populations and the effects of their feeding behavior. That three-year study begins this summer. Despite the impact on commercial fisheries, Gill pointed out that the otters are also important for the ecosystems that support those fisheries.
So sea otters eat urchins, so they manage the population, which means that, you know, have a healthy kelp forest, and so a decline in sea otters directly impacts the kelp forest. And they're what we call a keystone predator, so they're important for maintaining species richness and balance. Here is a food web when you have otters involved. When there are no otters, there are much fewer species.
Gill said kelp forests help provide food for invertebrates, and they serve as important habitat for juvenile fish, especially herring. Additionally, Gill said otters act as a marine canary in a coal mine. Like humans, otters live near shore and eat shallow water shellfish. But since they eat almost 23% of their body weight in shellfish a day, otter health served as an indicator of shellfish health.
We've had a number of cancers, and right now we have otters across the state dying dying from various ailments that are related to Streptococcus bovis, which is another bacteria that we're picking up. We're not sure where they're getting it from, and we're going to actually this summer start testing sewage outflow to see if it's coming from there.
A major focus of the meeting for fishermen were the laws governing the hunting of sea otters by Native Alaskans. Fish and Wildlife biologist Doug Burns explained the Native exemption under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
And what that says is that Alaska Natives can take marine mammals for subsistence purposes or for the purpose of creating and selling authentic Native articles of handicrafts and clothing, and also provided that the take is not wasteful.
According to Burns, there are Alaska Natives who may have been discouraged from hunting otters due to uncertainty over rules about selling items made from pelts. Burns said his agency and the National Marine Fisheries Service were looking into that issue.
We are proposing to work with Alaska Natives and with our sister agency to try to get better clarity on that.
Some fishermen asked to what degree non-natives could help natives to hunt sea otters. There's not a lot of leeway, according to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Enforcement Agent Sam Freeberg.
The bottom line is you can't assist directly with the hunt.
Petersburg fisherman Ed Wood asked if some of Southeast Alaska's sea otters could be shipped to Southwest Alaska, where the species are endangered.
We're writing a plan to bring the otters back in the regions. Would you consider taking a couple thousand out of Southeast and taking them out there to speed things up?
That is an idea the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will likely consider, according to biologist Burns. As the 2.5-hour meeting closed, Burns and biologist Gill encouraged fishermen to keep the lines of communication open on the otter issue.
Drop us a line, let us know what's going on, what we need to know, and then in the same token, we can keep you informed about what we're doing. I think one thing that's really been lacking, fundamental thing is lack of communication. You don't know what we've been doing. We don't know what's been going on down here. Let's at least start that by just letting us know what's going on, where they are now, what your concerns are. We'll let you know where we are, and then, you know, how you can help at least open communication and start talking about the issues, because if we never talk, we're never going to get anywhere.
The biologists are looking for specific input from the fishermen on sea otter distribution. Also, Gill asked fishermen who came across dead sea otters to contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service if they were in cell phone range. That way, they can get authorization to transport the animals to the agency for a necropsy. The toll-free number is 1-800-362-5148. The community forum was sponsored by the Fish and Wildlife Service, the University of Alaska Sea Grant Program, and the North Pacific Research Board. In Petersburg, I'm Melody Kay.